Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, businesses are under pressure to not only keep pace, but to also lead the charge in meeting and surpassing consumer expectations. As digital technology continues to shape consumer purchasing habits, decision makers are catering to consumer demand for ease and immediacy. This is the first podcast in a series that will highlight gift card program integration into all things digital, including mobile wallets, stored value, and P2P payments. Joining me today to delve into this topic is Tom Debalski, Vice President of Global Sales and Partnerships at Fiserv, and Jordan Hirschfield, Director of Prepaid at Javelin Strategy and Research. They're going to dive into the results from a recent joint survey that looks at understanding the aggressive upswing in consumer reliance on technology, as well as the demand for streamlined digital purchase and redemption experiences. It's great to have you both with us today. To kick things off, Jordan, can you tell us a bit about the survey and some of the key findings that really stood out?
On behalf of Fiserv, Javelin undertook a large research project recently. We surveyed 501 buyers in the incentives area, all companies with revenue of 20 million and up. So a really diverse group, but also a significant buying group. With these 501 respondents, we got a really interesting idea of where buyers are thinking and what the benefits are for those buyers when they buy an incentive, and really moving beyond just the incentive. That's like part of really what it found is that's an initial introduction from a consumer side into either their brand by offering an incentive of another brand, if it's that type of incentive, or it's maybe more of a, you know, when you're donating plasma or something like that, or when it's your brand, even more in particular, and we did separate those out, where you're incenting people to use your brand. So when it's loyalty programs and rebates and areas like that, versus just straight discounting and couponing, which is a little bit less beneficial for a long-term relationship. Some really interesting takeaways I found. The number one, and we'll get into this a little bit in different conversations, is the lowering of the customer acquisition costs. It's expensive to acquire a new customer, and these incentives had a very material impact on lowering acquisition costs, and then subsequently on improving customer retention. So there's so many useful benefits of offering an incentive to a consumer because you can have very material impact on your bottom line. A couple others, there's still a reliance on physical gift cards, but the shift to digital is happening. And that's a lot of what I think is important for a lot of our discussions. Consumers prefer digital by and large. And we see this in overall research that I've done, but the shift is occurring and there's going to be use for physical long-term. There's use for digital long-term, but that balance is shifting more towards digital. And then on the buyer side, some other areas, there's really still an interesting perspective that buyers of incentives are still going out and buying these incentives as a retail purchase. They're going to physical stores and buying tens and hundreds and more of gift cards when they can be doing this through a relationship with a provider and doing it at really an easier distribution model, saving costs, a lot of things like that. So on the consumer side, those are some really interesting takeaways.
Thanks for setting that up, Jordan. Thomas, I'm sure you've taken a look at the data as well, and there were so many interesting findings from it. Can you expand further into the buyer preferences and even speak to if there were any EVE-related preferences in terms of how this might have varied?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot to unpack here. That was a lot of great data that Jordan and the Javelin team were able to derive from the, you know, buyer base and recipient base. You know, just taking a step back, when I've been in the industry 30 years and when gift cards were created back in 1994, it was really derived from loyalty. And Jordan touched on several of those points. You know, the key attributes of a gift card drive acquisition, drive retention, drive frequency, and drive spend, which is really what loyalty programs are about. When he was talking about, you know, the cost of acquiring a customer, it's spot on. It can be very costly to acquire a customer. And a gift card is a very easy way. It's all about kind of a numbers game. It's all about distribution. The more cards you can get out into consumers' hands, the customers that are not familiar with your brand or not, you know, do not frequently visit your brand, it becomes an acquisition tool. If they do frequent your brand, it becomes a retention tool for those existing customers to keep them coming back. So it's a very, very valuable tool. And when you go back and look at that history of gift cards, you know, they were originally, you know, a conversion of the paper gift certificates to a physical gift card. And they were sold really in stores, as Jordan pointed out, then became kind of these distribution channels. And the distribution channels really turned into kind of that B2B model that Jordan was talking about, where how can I reach more consumers, not just the ones entering my store, but more consumers out there. And that's where B2B really came into play with really a lot of unique nuances of co-branded and partnerships, where other brands were using gift cards for their own acquisition and retention needs. Then you had third-party distribution. Again, how do we reach more of the population and so forth? So there's been an evolution. And now as we get into digital, you know, historically, gift cards have been kind of an agnostic vehicle where you don't know who that consumer is. And when you evolve into digital and you evolve into, you know, that loyalty convergence with stored value, now you're getting to know who that consumer is, and you're able to start driving that one-to-one engagement, which I think is extremely valuable to many brands these days.
Yeah, I'd add in, you know, when you look at incentives as this leading part into this digital channel, you know, and I look at it as this B2B2C. So you really bring that all full circle, where the business-to-business purchase goes to that individual consumer, as Tom was saying, that builds that relationship on both sides, consumers and employees. The individuals respond really well, and it's so naturally suited to digital distribution. And what you get in research that we've done, we're seeing a doubling in the amount of people who are receiving consumer incentives. So those businesses are really building that, where 40% of consumers are going to report getting a consumer incentive this year. That means that those people are getting, that 40% of the population is getting a better experience. And a lot of times that is through digital. And then when we look on the buyer side, again, that B2B side of the equation, as opposed to the 2C side, that's where the digital is coming in. So on the buyer side, 60% of purchases are digital, but recipients at a 70% clip prefer that. So there's still a gap there when that incentive is another brand. So that's, again, where we've got the consumer side, where you're offering another brand. When it's your own brand, where it's even easier because you've got more of a tied-in relationship generally through your brand's app or through your loyalty program, 39% of buyers are still giving out physical cards, even though, again, there's another gap, 40%, 46% prefer digital. So there's a significant amount of digital purchases, but the marketplace is moving even more towards that. And the consumer side, the ones who control that relationship in the end, it's the individuals can control that, want to see that happen in a digital way, because it does provide a more seamless experience.
Yeah, I totally agree, Jordan. It's almost a misnomer to refer to this industry as a gift card anymore. It's not just a gift card. Yep. The underlying technology that powers a stored value platform is so much more than gift. There is the foundation, which is the general ledger that dynamically manages the balance of that stored value. But layered onto that ledger is tons of features and functionality that allows merchants to really customize these use cases in the way that they're able to promote their brand and drive consumer behavior with those cards. You talked about people buying in store. The buyers are still buying in store. There's an education that needs to take place. I think, as you mentioned, there's an economic benefit to the buyers to buy through an aggregator, buy through a partner, buy through a brand's website, because in many cases, they will get a discount for that purchase, as well as they're building a strategic relationship with the brand where there could be additional co-branded opportunities and synergies for the two companies to leverage. You know, we're seeing use cases evolve, especially with digital, because digital now and allows and enables integration into various vehicles of distribution, vehicles of marketing and promotion and engagement, where, you know, brands are now using this platform not only for loyalty or loyalty points conversion, but for rebates, for warranties, for specific product couponing, customer appeasement. And of course, you've got the foundation of a giftable program as well, where it's just, it remains a gift. But, you know, these funds are now just, they're not just customer funded. There's the potential for merchant funded and third party funded to, again, drive that loyalty in that B2B use case.
You've both really talked about the benefits of digital in terms of the preferences that consumers really are looking for. And on the business side too, Tom, to your point, this is a way for them to increase sales by expanding their gift card distribution. To that note, can you further kind of go into the benefits that this really does present the business, especially for those that may be on the fence when thinking about upgrading, you know, to a digital gift card program? Who are thinking about, is it worth their time, their effort, the hassle to kind of do this?
Well, I'll go back in time here for those of you that are familiar with the old Seinfeld TV series, right? George Costanza had that wallet that was, you know, 3 inches thick, wouldn't fit in his pocket because of all of the cards and, you know, whether it's credit cards, library cards, gift cards, loyalty cards. You know, the wallet's gotten too big for a physical format. I think that's also happening in the digital world as well. You know, digital wallets are starting to get overcrowded in some sense. And so when you look at the generic Google wallets and Apple wallets, we're seeing a lot more brands invest in their own vaulting solutions. So their own branded apps where they can drive that consumer engagement. And then that convergence of all of their payments along with their loyalty programs into a vaulted branded wallet. I think a pivotal point for adoption of digital, both at the consumer level as well as the merchant level, you know, unfortunately or fortunately was, you know, the pandemic. You know, I think a lot of brands were strapped with resources, both human resources, as well as technology resources, as well as budget. And a lot of systems got antiquated prior to COVID. You know, obviously there were industry leaders that have always invested in technology. But since the pandemic, I think all brands have really reprioritized their consumer engagement model. While they still want, you know, the foot traffic in their stores, they're seeing a lot more traffic outside of their stores, whether it's curbside, drive-through, delivery, online shopping, and so forth, that, you know, how do you maintain that personal engagement with the consumer when it's done virtually? And so a lot of brands are reprioritizing and investing in bringing that in-store experience into that mobile environment to drive, you know, the app downloads, and then what is the value within that app that keeps that customer clicking on that icon on their mobile phone. So I think a lot of the use cases that Jordan and I have spoken about are being prioritized and being integrated in a way that is easy for brands to connect with their buyers, with their consumers. So it's really driving convenience and value along the way.
Yeah, I'd add in right along my thoughts. You know, omnichannel is really pushing consumers. It, you know, having that whole circle of, as Tom said, you've got the in-store experience, the curbside, the mobile experience. And part what that does, that pushes digital payments, especially with mobile. Everything's really driven through mobile. I just wrote a report where I mentioned 85% of people in high-income countries, so this is looking even beyond the U.S., have access to the mobile internet, either through apps or a mobile browser. And really, when you look at that, apps are the easiest way to go. That creates the most unique engagement opportunity. And so consumers are comfortable using both of these to make a purchase. And, you know, even more so, like when you're doing a digital purchase, when you're not in store, they're more comfortable using their phone than they are using a PC. The PC is you know, not that it's dying. We need them every day still for a lot of things, but it's not the preferred method of commerce in the digital world. So this means that the phone experience through that app needs to be extremely positive. And I'll actually add, research that we've done from Javelin shows that even when you're doing an in-store purchase, when you're using a gift card or stored value, which I agree, Tom's a much better way to say it, because a lot of it is for self-use, a quarter of people are going to complete that purchase through their app, even in the in-store environment. This truly brings that whole omnichannel thing full circle, because you can be in store, you want to physically, you know, if you're at a restaurant, you know, there's only so much you can do mobile. You can't eat your food mobile. You can't pick it up. But or if you're in a store and you want to try something on, they're still going to rely on that mobile app and that stored value account to complete that purchase. And I'll actually add, when you look at the digital versus a physical card, be it for self-use or for gift card, what we see is that the digital cards generally have, on average per card, a $20 higher value in a digital format. So from a buyer perspective, it's better for you as a buyer to have a digital format, because people are more likely to invest more into that method of payment. So really positive things. And again, the mobile phone is the centerpiece now of the experience. And no matter if you buy online, on your computer, in store, it doesn't matter. It all stems from that relationship.
Yeah, I think building off of what you said, Jordan, and kind of back to my George Costanza analogy, you know, I've got a stack of probably 20 to 30 gift cards sitting at home on my office desk. And some of those gift cards are, no lie, 20 years old and still have value on them. I've never redeemed them. And it's because I've got too many cards. I can't carry these around with me every day. And to your point, you know, with mobile, this is something that all consumers have with them at all times. And it brings that convenience of being able to access your gift cards on demand anywhere, anytime, that helps drive that redemption of those gift cards. I don't believe brands are focused anymore on breakage. Breakage is not a value to a brand anymore. They want to drive that consumer engagement, that consumer purchase. And to your point, that $20 lift that many brands are seeing with digital, that is way more important than breakage.
Yeah. And breakage, you know, results now, you know, they're, you know, at best, you know, maybe you can wait for an annual result, but people want quarterly results. Breakage is it's a 5-year window. You know, almost inconsequential to your business, your immediate business needs. So I agree. You want that cycle going of constantly utilizing, topping up to keep that engagement moving.
I think the topping up is an interesting topic as well, because we've talked a lot about the distribution channels of getting cards into the consumer's hands, whether it's B2C or B2B. But digital also, I think, to your point, enables an easy way for, you know, the average, you know, physical gift card has, you know, 2.5 transactions to it in many cases. But once you've vaulted that gift card into a digital wallet, the convenience of being able to just top up, you mentioned self-use as well, and we're seeing a lot more self-use, especially when they're tied to promotions. When brands are running a buy 25, get 5, or buy 50, get 10, any kind of incentive like that, I think the economic pressures that many people are experiencing in today with inflation and so forth, that incentive of a promotion is driving customer retention again with the ability to top up that gift card. And for $25, get $30 worth of value. It's driving loyalty to that brand, adding value to that consumer. And again, that vaulting and that digital experience makes that a whole lot easier than hanging on to a physical card, having to go to a website to reload it or what have you. So I think those are all good points.
I think that there's no doubt when looking into this, the benefits of digital. But as we spoke about, you know, there's still ongoing technology updates that can be very costly to businesses. One can consider a solution that's partnering with external resources. Tom, can you speak more to that?
I'll try to answer that question, you know, kind of from my perspective. You know, I think when you talk about the digital evolution more broadly into kind of the construct that Jordan and I have been talking about with a mobile app and a mobile wallet, I think to your point, they're very complex. It's not just about payments. It has a lot of cross-functional dependencies within an organization. It's not managed by one group. It's managed by multiple groups. I think the magic of the end result is a coordination of several technologies, several integration touch points, and kind of that convergence. I know, you know, here at Fiserv, we focus very much on providing a roadmap for our clients to kind of ease that pain with an orchestration layer, you know, that we refer to as Carrot, that really brings those integration touch points all together seamlessly to really enable many of the features and functionalities and kind of goals and objectives that brands have for that mobile wallet, that loyalty program, that overall consumer experience. So while you said it can be costly, it can be overwhelming, it could be extremely complicated, I think companies like Fiserv are taking a leadership role in realizing that all of those things are necessary and how can we ease that pain and knock down those hurdles for brands by taking as much of that on into that Carrot orchestration layer to kind of create a single point of entry that then enables multiple features and functionalities and capabilities for these brands within that experience.
Yeah, and I'll add, you know, I think there's some really interesting. So you look at, you know, as Tom was talking about, the different departments that need to be involved in this. And not only is it different departments, sometimes it's different geographies. And that's where, you know, I look back, you know, the mobile device flattens the world. And when you think of that, if you're a multinational brand and you can jump on technology to have that consistent experience digitally cross-border, and that includes the utilization of stored value in other currencies, things like that. But when someone has their phone travels with them. If you, you know, live in an area, you know, where you're near a border and you go between countries or you're traveling, you want to have that consistent experience, and having an invested technology presence is one way to do that. And that, you know, you really do, you kind of go into economies of scale, and you look at even down to the buyers that we surveyed and the economies of scale. And I mentioned this a little bit at the top, but you've got 22% of consumer incentive buyers and buying at retail outlets. They're not utilizing technology solutions that are available to them that offer economies of scale, offer better distribution points. And then when you have consumer brands who are distributing it for their own brand, 32% do that through internal processes instead of utilizing a partner that can have purpose-built technology to integrate those tasks, provide the customer support. So there's a lot of different angles that the technology can really ease in serving customers, and that really being the overlaying element of that B2B2C relationship. So a lot going on there, both from a geographic standpoint and just an internal technology standpoint.
You know, Jordan, it's interesting. You mentioned how, you know, the phone is always with you. It was my saving grace last week. I was traveling last week and I got to the airport and realized I forgot my wallet at home. So I had no credit cards. I had no driver's license. I'm already trying to figure out how I'm going to get through airport security without an ID. You know, luckily enough, I had my, you know, in the state of California where I reside, they actually have digital driver's license now. So I was able to pull up my driver's license through the DMV app for California. I was able to pay for my hotel and my meals and everything using my Apple Wallet and the credit cards that I had stored in there. Obviously, you have your airline tickets, you have your, you know, hotel reservations, your hotel loyalty programs, everything I needed was there. The comfort of having your phone, I think I would panic more not having my phone than not having my wallet.
Absolutely. I know that feeling very well.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective. So much interesting data was shared. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.